What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Top pieces of football, NFL lunch style. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Ravens back in practice today. Commanders coming up. Preseason finale this weekend. Then get your 53 set for the Buffalo Bills, September 7th. Joining us now to talk about the NFL, two preseason weeks in. Longtime NFL writer, friend of the program. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back Jason Cole. Jason, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
I am fantastic.
All right, we were just talking about the NFC North a little bit, and in particular, the wide receiver woes of the Packers. Minnesota's got their own woes there. Is, you know, the suspension, Addison and Jefferson with the hammy. Then you have new coaches and everything in Chicago. And we know about Detroit, great regular season. Not exactly the way they wanted it to end, getting thumped by Washington in the playoffs. Jason, as you look at the NFC North, who's the most questionable team? And who's the team that, you know, might come out of here and surprise a lot, at least starting the season?
Well, I mean, I think the Bears are still the most questionable team. I mean, because you don't know that – you think the quarterback is talented, which I – there's physical gift. But you don't really know that he can play. And it's that, you know, there's a huge difference there. Like, you know, he holds the ball too long. He's, you know, he's got to learn to do some things differently. He's got to change his game. And Ben Johnson can do that, I think so. I think he's got – high learning capability, but you got to actually do it. And then, you know, for Ben Johnson, like, did you get to bring any of those guys with you from Detroit? like that offensive line? I mean, when you're super talented, you can do anything you want, including making Jared Goff look really, really good because he's surrounded by so many guys who can really, really play. And I think Jared Goff's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great one. And Johnson, the part of that is Johnson, but another part of that is you just got stars everywhere right now. That's a great, great roster. So Chicago, to me, jumps off the page. The other ones, yeah, the injuries are the injuries. But in, you know, as we've gotten into 17-game seasons, it's really where are you by, sir, the second half of November? Did you put yourself in position to make the playoffs? And can you get healthy in time for the playoffs to really actually win? That's what this league has sort of become about.
Hey, Jason, what's your opinion on two of the Florida teams, Miami and Jacksonville?
The quarterbacks are, probably above average. And I think they're both limited by the quarterbacks. You know, can Tua stay healthy? Probably not. So that means that they got four or five games a year that they're probably going to miss with him. Can they survive it? He kind of is what he is, which would make me think they got to go a new direction. But I like the talent. I don't think it's good enough to compete with the top, four or five teams in the AFC. When you talk about, look, if you're the Dolphins, can you get through Baltimore? Can you get through Cincinnati? Can you get through Buffalo? Can you get through Kansas City? Can you let alone get through the Chargers, who with Herbert and Harbaugh, that's a fabulous combination. And I think the answer is no. You might be able to get through one of them. You might be able to get through two, but you can't get through three or more of those in a playoff situation. And Jacksonville is kind of the same thing. Now, Lawrence is more talented, you know, bigger guy, healthier guy. I think he's a good leader, but there's a missing component to him. And it's something that, you know, the scouts talked about before he came out, which is he doesn't remember plays the way that star players remember plays. And I know this is a weird kind of criticism, but it's been a weird career because you see the talent, but you don't see the weekly execution. This is a guy who, when scouts asked him to describe a key play when he was at Clemson, he didn't say this to be dismissive. He said it because he truly meant it, which is, I don't remember the play. Hmm. And star players remember everything. They just do. They just, you know, like if you ask Peyton Manning, he can describe plays. You ask Tom Brady, he can describe like where were the feet of the defensive end lined up relative to the offensive tackle. Like they just remember the most minute details because they just sink it into their head. And Lawrence doesn't do that.
What do you think, Jason, what you've seen of Jackson Dart? Because there's kind of the talk of New York now.
Yippee. let me see regular season. I mean, don't look up Daniel Jones' preseason hype his rookie year. Same question. You can just copy and paste the stories. It's the same thing. So you and I both know nobody's playing any real design defenses right now. Nope. He's not facing anything that he didn't face at the college level. Good for him. It looks good. But the game's a whole lot more complicated than this. And so I just don't, you know, like his body of work from college is going to make me have questions until he gets onto the field and I say, oh, he's improved the accuracy. Oh, he's making the decisions a little bit quicker. Yeah, I'm not saying he can't do it, but don't ask me to make come up with an opinion based on a couple of preseason games.
Hey, Jason, what do you think's going to happen with, you know, Cincinnati, Dallas, and Washington, you know, with the hold-ins?
Well, the Bengals will probably screw it up and trade him. Dallas will sign him. What's the third hold-in? What's the other one?
Dallas. Pittsburgh. Oh, no, yeah. Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas, Washington, Cincy.
McLaurin will sign. Yeah, that's a new – they're just putting – McLaurin's doing what he's got to do to put pressure on him. And Quinn knows that he doesn't need McLaurin just yet. So he can wait it out a little bit longer. Dallas knows that they're going to get Parsons done. Jerry's just putting the theater together, which is what he always does. You know, more attention, more eyeballs, because he knows nobody trusts his team and nobody cares about his team because there's nothing to talk about other than that holdout or hold in as it were. But Cincinnati will screw it up with Hendrickson. They will find a way to trade him because that's just the way that Mike Brown thinks. He thinks he's going to get value for him when, you know, your time to win is now. Your time to get this done and take advantage of the Joe Burrow era, especially after you signed both wide receivers to those contracts, is now. Like, I don't understand, if you place a high enough value on those guys, you should do the same thing with Hendrickson. I know he's got time left on his contract, but with stars, you tear up their contracts. They're worth whatever they demand, and you just have to do that. Now, there are other players, you know, 70%, 80% of the league, even 90% of the league, if they decide to hold in, you're like, okay, good, you know, thanks. You know, I don't really care. You know, when you show up, you show up. But there are a few stars on every team. You have to pay them what they're worth.
Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Jason, last thing for you, your confidence level in the Broncos making the playoffs back-to-back seasons here.
Look, my reservation is the division is so tough that they could be – like, you know Kansas City is going to be there at the end, right? You know – three other teams. You know, Baltimore's going to be in the playoffs. You're pretty sure that Buffalo is going to be in the playoffs. And you kind of sit there and go, okay, you know you're competing for a wild card spot. How many wild card spots do you, you know you got three. You know, how's that going to be divvied up? Especially when you think that the Chargers are still really good. I get the 50-50 at best to me that they make the playoffs. And I think they're a good team. But I think it's 50-50, even though I think they're going the right direction. And this is where you hope that if they regress a little bit, like Knicks gets figured out a little bit, Peyton's still not quite there with the roster, everything's not perfect yet, you just hope that the owner is patient enough and understands football well enough to give him more time and say, okay, you know, I see where you're trying to go with this. But, yeah, we know we're in a tough division where even the Raiders have more talent, you know, are clearly going to get better and are going to be better run now that you have Pete Carroll there. So you have four high-quality coaches, three teams with either the best quarterback in the league in Mahomes or one of the other, you know, guys, another guy who is in the top 10 and another guy who looks like he's in the top half of the league among quarterbacks. That's a pretty good set there. So Denver, I like it. Playoffs? That's it's a little Jim Mora quote.
Playoffs? He's Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer. Jason, appreciate the time as always. We'll catch up with you before opening kickoff here in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks,
Jason.
You got it, Jason Cole, everyone. We'll come back, shift to the baseball world, the American League East report, what happened in the division over the weekend, what's happening tonight, and then we'll look at the standings. Things have changed a little bit, and Rich Dubroff's going to be joining us, BaltimoreBaseball.com, talk about the Orioles, take 2 out of 3 from Houston. Now off to Fenway, trying to be a pain in Boston.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story, or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song.
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Rear ends.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time for the American League East report here on this Monday. Orioles at Fenway tonight, taking on the Red Sox. 7:10 first pitch. Orioles clobber the Astros yesterday, 12-0. Orioles take 2 out of 3 from Houston over the weekend. Sammy Abisaio made his Major League debut, 1-for-4 with a couple of ribbies. Got robbed of a home run. Jordan Westberg, 4-for-5, 5 driven in, including a home run. Dylan Beavers, 1-for-4, couple of runs scored as he got his first hit out of the way as well. Dean Kramer, brilliant. 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 7 strikeouts, got over 110 pitches. Good to see. In a day after going 0-for-14 with runners in scoring position, the Orioles went 7-for-14. And there you go. So a tough loss on Saturday. Ramon Urias beats out the double play. Perfect game for Brandon Young into Friday. So after taking 2 out of 3 from Seattle, remember the Mariners were red hot when they came in here. And the Orioles kind of cooled them off a little bit. And now Houston, Boston, they're in a position of strength with the playoffs. We'll get into that. We'll do the standings tonight. Trevor Rogers, 5-2 with a 143 against former Dodger Dustin May. 7-8 with a 4.67 ERA. Boston 68-57 on the year. 41-23 at Fenway. Orioles 57-67. 27-37 on the road. BBT brought to you by Jerry's Home Services coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. Elsewhere in the division yesterday. Speaking of Boston, they were going for the sweep against the Marlins on a Sunday, and heading into the ninth inning, it looked like they were going to get it. But the Marlins said, no, we're not going quietly at all.
0-1 coming to Dane Myers. A shot in the air to right center field. Pretty deep. Rafael is going back. Warning track. Wall gone! Tied! The great Dane ties it here in the ninth. Marcy rips one. Down the right field line. This is deep for the lead! Jacob Marcy!
gives the Marlins a 5-3 lead here in the ninth.
FanDuel on the call. Myers and Marcy hitting jacks in the ninth inning. Garrett Crochet looked like he was about to pick up the win. He instead gets the no decision. Florida, or Miami, beat the Red Sox 5-3. Red Sox do take 2 out of 3 over the weekend in that series. Texas taking on the Blue Jays. And Toronto got medieval on the Rangers on Saturday. Well, Texas, they repaid the favor, shall we say.
And he hits this ball hard out to left field. That one's got a chance. Gone! 15th home run of the year for Marcus Semien. And he gives the Rangers a 2-0 lead.
Rangers Sportsnet there. Semien, Seager, Lankford, and Carter all go deep for the Texas Rangers. Nathan Eovaldi, 7 strong innings, 5 hits for his 11th win of the season. Blue Jays, however, do take 2 out of 3. Up at Rogers Center, Yankees taking on the Cardinals. And it's New York getting a sweep, and the veteran first baseman coming through.
Lined into right field. That's a base hit. Rounding third and coming home is Chisholm. Goldschmidt into second with an RBI double. Paul Goldschmidt returns to St. Louis and has a 3-hit day.
3-for-5, double, Ribby, Bellinger with a couple RBIs as well. Yankees 8-4 sweep the Cardinals over the weekend in St. Louis. And then late in the afternoon, San Francisco taking on the Rays and a big old whippet stip coming out here for the Giants. Drew Gilbert, 2-run homer, Bay Area Sports, NBC, that is. Let's see, Logan Webb, 7 innings, 11th win, 11-9. Tampa Bay does win the series, 2-1. Final score yesterday in favor of San Francisco, 7-1. Only a couple of games in the division today. Orioles at Boston, of course, and Toronto's at Pittsburgh. Gausman against Skeens.
Ooh.
As Toronto's trying to stay on top of the American League East pitching match. Well, excuse me, standing in the American League East right now. Toronto, 73-52. They're 5 up on Boston. Pardon me, Yankees, 5.5 off the pace. Detroit's now 8.5 up on Cleveland, who got swept over the weekend. Kansas City, 9. Houston, 1.5 on Seattle. In the West, Texas 7.5 there. Phillies, 5 games up on the Mets in the East. Marlins today put Kyle Stowers on the IL with an oblique injury in that one. Brewers, they had their 14-game winning streak come to an end at Cincinnati yesterday. Austin Hayes with the game-winning base hit and extras for the Reds, but still a very comfortable lead for Milwaukee. 8 games up on the Cubs. And out West, Dodgers swept the Padres, and doing so reclaimed first place in the NL West. They're 2 games up on San Diego there. And as we look at the wild card standings real quick, if the playoffs started today, Boston, Seattle, New York in, Cleveland 3.5 out, Kansas City 4, Texas 5.5, et cetera, et cetera. And then in the National League, Cubs, Padres, Mets in, Reds are 1.5 out. Cardinals have lost 5 in a row. They have fallen 5.5 off the pace there in the National League wildcard chase. When we come back, talk Orioles and Red Sox and look back at the Houston series with Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com. And then a fun-ass trip with Nolan McGraw, Inside Access Take.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's over it too. Coming up tonight at Fenway Park from BaltimoreBaseball.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. So welcome back to the show, our friend and yours, Rich Dubroff. Rich, good morning. What's happening? Or good afternoon, rather. How are you feeling?
I am feeling wonderful. As you just played Chicago, I'm feeling stronger every day.
Hey, it's almost like a Saturday in the anyway, Rich Dubroff, we could go down that rabbit hole. Let's go back to Friday, and in particular, Brandon Young and his performance. previous start against the A's, he got rocked. Orioles got blown out of Oriole Park at Camden Yards. But boy, did he bounce back nicely. Thank you very much. Watching him deal the way that he did. I mean, he kind of came out of nowhere, got on the Oriole radar down on the farm. But what was it like watching a young man apply his trade in front of a bunch of friends and family, too?
Well, Bob, since you and I are friends, I always have to tell the truth here.
Okay.
And the truth was, I was at Bowie on Friday night, and I didn't get to see Brandon Young. I didn't get to see a single pitch of Brandon Young's game.
Oh, wow.
But it's one of the few, it's one of the few games I didn't watch in person or on TV. So I do have to tell you that. But it's astounding. I mean, it was astounding to see that Brandon Young pitched like that. Because other than the immaculate inning earlier in the season, I never thought that he was capable of something like that. I knew he was a good pitcher and all. He's gotten to the major leagues. His numbers hadn't shown anything to suggest that he was capable of that. But what's important is now he's put himself on the map for 2026. You know, these couple of months are an audition for next year, and performances like this, and if he can follow up with more good ones, will put him in really good stead for 2026.
Now you say putting yourself in a position for next year, not to bury the Bisayo Beavers lead, which we'll get to Rich in a second.
Sure.
What about Jeremiah Jackson? All of a sudden, I mean, he's getting semi-regular playing time, brings a right-handed stick to the equation, which the Orioles could obviously use now that Laureano's raking in San Diego. He's only 25, and was a second-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. How much has he done to maybe look at someone like, hey, man, when we're projecting what could be the 26th next year, is this a guy that we now go, well, he's no longer a roster filler, could be an asset to this team?
He certainly can. What's interesting, Bob, is whenever you have a bad team, and the Orioles have not been a good team this year, and you're giving players an opportunity to play, it always seems like there are one or two players who you don't think about who will make you notice them. It happened in 2020 and 2021 with Ramon Urias. That was it was somebody that nobody had given a second thought to, and Urias sort of came out of nowhere and made himself into a creditable major leaguer. Jeremiah Jackson may be the same sort of player. It was funny. I mentioned I went to Bowie, and I was talking to the manager down there, Roberto Mercado, about him, because his stats at Bowie earlier in the year weren't really great. They were sort of average, which was what his minor league career had been up until then. And then there was an opening at Norfolk, and they brought him up there, and he batted 370. And people kept writing me and saying, well, what about this guy? You know, he had been with the Orioles in spring training, and not very long. I didn't get a chance to see much of him because he was sent down pretty quickly. But, you know, his fielding isn't great. He's still kind of raw there. But he has really shown, if you give him an opportunity to play, that maybe he can hit a little bit. And Tony Mancelino mentioned, well, he's not going to be an infielder. He's not going to be a starting infielder because they have Jackson Holliday and Gunnar Henderson and Jordan Westberg. He's going to have to be a guy who does a bunch of things. And that's so far what he's showing. And it's real early to say, oh, this guy's going to be on the roster next year, but this guy is going to be an important contender, maybe an important piece on the 2026 Orioles.
Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Samuel Bisayo, long-awaited debut, had the home run robbed by Sanchez, who, took 5-6 runs himself off the board from Gunner and Bisayo, but he finally got the hit. It was a rope at that, drove in a couple of runs. Dylan Beavers got his first hit on Saturday as well. So we see these ballyhooed prospects come up, Bisayo more so because he's been a guy we've been hearing about for a few seasons now. To finally get that out of the way means what for them, Rich? And when you look at that lineup last night or yesterday afternoon at Houston, I mean, that's kind of what we envisioned the team next year to look like, I would think.
Right you are, Bob. I'm looking forward to seeing them in person tonight here in Boston. You know, I saw Bisaccia and Devers in spring training this year, and I think that these next 6 weeks are really important, because even if they don't play all that well, it sort of gets that rookie, you know, that rookie time out of the way. You know, Colton Cowser had that in 2023, where he was up and he didn't play very well. And, you know, of course, this year has been difficult for him, but he came back last year and played well. But I think it's important to get that rookie time out of the way. And you're putting them in a difficult situation, because the rest of the way, other than, you know, I think three series against Pittsburgh and against the White Sox and against Tampa Bay, the Orioles are facing contenders here. And they put them up against Houston in those two games, and now they have Boston and then Houston and Boston again. But they have a lot of really interesting teams they're playing against, the Padres and the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Blue Jays. So these are important games for these guys, because they're going up against really difficult major league teams then. And that's what that's what happens. You can't just say, oh, yeah, let's put them up and see how they do against the Pirates and the White Sox. But, you know, you need to put them up against American League East and other difficult teams. So it's an important 6 weeks for those guys to just experience the ups and downs of the major leagues and give them a real chance to play.
Hey, Rich, what do you think the Orioles would have to do for Masolino to be able to keep the job, if there's any possibility?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Let's see. You know, in the last, they got 38 games to play. If they can somehow be terrific in these last, in these last 38 games, and then they, you know, maybe win 24, 25 of them, maybe there's a chance. I just keep thinking that Mike Elias wants to have a real managerial search, which is something he really has not had. When he was hired in 2018, he was hired in mid-November, and all the other managerial openings had been filled. Now the Orioles will be a very attractive opening for prospective managers for 2026 and beyond. So I think that they will have a good choice of who they want. And I'm thinking that he's going to want to make, going to have a full off season. It won't take him a full off season, probably take him a month or so to do it. But I think he wants to have a complete look at the contenders who are out there. I think Masolino has done a very fine job in a very difficult situation. He's above 500 as a manager now. And I think that he would be a reasonable choice for next year. But as I've said so many times on this show, I really have a difficult time looking into Mike Elias's, head and figuring out, who he's thinking about, what he's thinking about. So I'm just guessing that he wants a full search. And, it's certainly possible that Masolino comes back, but it's important that in these last 38 games that the team plays well. If the team doesn't play well, then I think it's a sure thing. But if the team surprises, because it's a difficult schedule, and goes, a few games over 500 the rest of the way, then I think he may have a puncher's chance.
Hey, Rich, when you look at Gunnar Henderson now defensively, what are you seeing from what you saw last year?
This is a superior shortstop, and everybody last year who thought, oh, gee, they should move him off shortstop, what is he doing there, really didn't know what they were talking about. He's an excellent shortstop, and he's still young. He was still young last year, and this guy is really, really good at shortstop, and he should play there for a very long time.
Rich Dubrow, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Rich, real quick, what do you think Tyler Wells' role will be when he does eventually come back to Baltimore? Looks like in a couple of weeks here.
I'm guessing he's going to be the closer. They don't have a guy who's closed. They've tried everybody, and Tyler Wells has closed in the past, and maybe they'll look at him as the closer for next year.
I told Nolan not to rag on Gunner's shortstop play, but he wouldn't listen to me, Rich Dubroff. He's Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. What's happening on the website?
Well, we have a an offering from the great Peter Schmuck that's just come out there. And I, as I said, I talked to Roberto Mercado, the Chesapeake Bay Sox manager, and that's up there. And then we'll have more news this afternoon as it warrants, and then game coverage tonight and 24/7 coverage of the Orioles, as always.
Rich, appreciate the time, as always. Enjoy Fenway. We'll see you down at Camden Yards this weekend.
Thanks, Rich.
Okay, look forward to it. Thank you, guys.
There's Rich Dubroff, everyone. We'll come back, take a trip through the Funhouse. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access takes over at 2, followed by BBT, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, 6 o'clock tonight. So again, for those just tuning in, when Cincinnati opens their season against Cleveland, will Hendrickson be playing for them or somebody else first week of the year?
Yeah, that one's going to be interesting, Bob. And I mean, Cincy's defense, man, I mean, talk about taking a big hit. That's 17 and a half sacks on a defense that sucked. You know, that the offense had to score in the 30s for them to have a chance to win. And then you're going to lose your most explosive, best defensive player. Not a smart move. I think, Bob, that he's locked in now. Hendrickson's like, F you.
Sure.
You know, so I think it's gotten ugly there, but he still goes to practice every day, you know, and I feel bad for the coaches because they want the player. So that's kind of a tough deal. See, I don't think they'll trade him just because I don't, you know, would they take one from New England? I don't, you know, and maybe you figure New England's going to kind of suck. You can get another. They could do that. They could do that, you know. They could. Bengals, you never know.
And for Cincinnati as a team, you know, minus Hendrickson maybe. Look, this is back-to-back playoff-less seasons for them. And I mean, they're kind of getting left behind in the power structure of the AFC. But if they're at full strength, full capacity, if you will, I mean, that's a team that you definitely keep an eye on moving into late November into December. Nolan, what's going on in your world here on this regular old Monday?
Well, it was expected news, but it is breaking news nonetheless. Joe Flacco going to be officially the starting quarterback for the Browns out the gate. So we're pretty much assuming that that holds up for week two, and he will be making his return to Baltimore. First game back as a starter.
Yeah, Cleveland, by the way, hosts Cincinnati season opener with the spread right now still in favor of the Bengals, 5.5 points. But Jolton Joe Flacco had that miraculous run for them 2 years ago, got him in the playoffs, and then was brutal. A bunch of picks and pick sixes and all that craziness and a lost season in Indy. Now back where he seemed to be more at home than anywhere else outside of Baltimore in his NFL career.
Well, I think that Stefanski wants to run the ball in a play action stuff, which fits Joe extremely well. Remember, Joe had it with Kubiak, similar style offense. And I think Joe, if they can run the football, I think Joe will be good.
And you forget that after he left here, he went to Denver, then bounced to the Jets and Philly. I mean, he kind of did the nomad, just hanging on for dear life sort of thing in his NFL career. But as Nolan just said, here we are weeks away from an NFL season, and he's a starting quarterback again.
Well, I mean, this is certainly going to fuel his fire, I would imagine, to keep playing. But he's been on record saying that, you know, he's going to ride this till the wheels fall off. What is that moment, though? I mean, if it hasn't happened already, and again, he is a starter here, so you give him credit. But, I mean, if it hasn't happened yet, like, what's going to be the moment that actually stops him from continuing to play?
Yeah, who knows?
Injury, maybe.
Yeah, got plenty of money, right?
Or if one of these young guys step up, you know, I mean, what are the odds Joe's going to be playing 17 games?
Sure. And if they start 1-5, then they're going to be looking at bigger picture stuff.
But if it's not the Browns, I mean, some other team next summer at least have him as a camp body. He'll be in and around. He'll be on a practice squad somewhere.
Doesn't look like he's aged a bit either.
No, he looks same.
Yeah, just same old Joe. Regular Joe. Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time.
For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
1057 The Fan.
Start with this one here. Says, you know the Orioles must be playing better when you actually find yourself getting worked up over wins and losses again. The excitement of Saturday night's game had me on edge for extra innings, riding the highs of Dietrich Enns. His two innings were great. And then the crushing lows of the Arias winner.
Yeah, and look, they lost the top one in Seattle when Kramer was brilliant for eight innings, couldn't score. And then Saturday, as the texter said, tough L. They're 2-for-14 with runners in scoring position. There's probably a different outcome in that game. But this is as well as they played in a long, long time because it's as healthy as they've been. Kowser came back and you forgot. Oh, that's right. He's back too. Don't worry. Tyler O'Neill will be back probably in September. No, I'm very excited about that.
Plus, the starting pitching's been awesome.
They've been dealing. Yeah. I mean, Povich didn't start Saturday, but he had 10 Ks in five innings.
Well, they started other guy, what, because it was three lefties or whatever?
Overthinking things.
Let's see. Speaking of the pitching, this texter here says, I got to give it up for Dean Kramer. He's been calling for a manager to let him go deep for years, and now that he's getting the opportunity, making the most of it with Mancelino. I think between him and Rogers, really makes you wonder what the Orioles rotation could have looked like at full strength this year. Nonetheless, just hope they're ready or keep it rolling for 26.
And he's owned the Astros over the course of his career, Dean Kramer. But next year, well, coming up probably in the next couple of weeks, Bradish will be back, albeit on a pitch count, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Wells, Rich Dubrow thinks he'll be the back end of the bullpen guy, which, you know, I'm intrigued to see. You still need to add a couple of arms, as we all know, redo the bullpen a little bit. But, I mean, there's more hope, I guess, for that rotation than we saw, say, a month ago. And Suarez is coming back, too. Forgot about how key he was last year.
Last thought of the day, this one Ravens-related. Texter says, I ripped Cooper Rush after his terrible game against the Colts, so I have to be fair. He was much better on Saturday. And a lot of balls seemed to slip through the hands of receivers. The one pick shouldn't have been. Wester wasn't paying attention. Still not crazy about Rush overall, but he looked more like an actual backup this time around.
Yeah, I mean, he's got street cred. You know, I mean, this is his eighth year in the league. He's 9-5 as a starter, so that's not bad. You know, I mean, that actually is pretty damn good. So he was a lot better, and they were a lot better for him, too.
Ravens will wrap up the preseason this weekend against Washington. Remember, it's supposed to be joint scrimmage week,
Thursday,
joint practice, Thursday. But not happening now. And it looks like Dan Quinn's the one to pull the plug on that, not John Harbaugh.
Yep. Yeah, well, they play tonight. They got a lot of guys beat up, so
it makes sense.
That's the logistics.
And they're still waiting for Terry McLaurin to get back into the lineup as well, but that's their problem. Ravens taking on Washington this weekend. Back at practice as we speak, or coming up in a few minutes, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up here in a couple of minutes, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.